sign and share. We've been covering the book of Ruth together, and hopefully it's been a blessing to you. I know it's been a blessing to me as I've studied it each week preparing. Before we jump into the book of Ruth, I wanted to say thank you to Jasmine and Danielle and Ray for their incredible flexibility in filling in at the last minute, covering for a couple sick team members, and what a blessing you guys are to the body to step in the way you did. So I praise God for that. But as we look at the book of Ruth, we come to chapter 3, and we see that Ruth asks a very specific question of Boaz. This question I called the redeeming question. And Ruth eventually will ask Boaz to be her husband. And I thought it was appropriate to tell you about how Jasmine and I became engaged and then eventually married. It's not a story that I think I've shared from the pulpit. And don't get all excited, because it's pretty normal. We were in college together, and we decided we would like to get married. And so we went to our parents. I went to my parents first, and then Jasmine and I together went to her grandparents and said, "Hey, what do you guys think about this?" And our parents all kind of said, "Yeah, you can do that." And so Jasmine and I went together to the jewelry store and picked out a ring. And we were cheap and on a budget. So she picked out a budget-friendly ring, and we got it all sized up, and then one special day, we ran down to the beach, and Jasmine's dream was to get engaged and married on the beach, and I asked her on the beach of Oceanside to be my wife, and it was an amazing day. It was an awesome day, and then on the way home, We called all of our friends and family to tell them that we were engaged, and not many of them were surprised, because we had already talked about that for a long time. Here in Ruth, we see where this engagement is going to be a little bit of a surprise. It's a little bit of an oddball, a little bit of a long shot, and I look forward to kind of looking at it together. But I think it's appropriate for us to be reminded of where we've come from in the book of Ruth. So we see that there's a family, there's a couple, Naomi and Elimelech, and they move from Bethlehem to Moab because there's a famine. They're avoiding some of the consequences of this famine, and Moab is a really lush kind of area, really well known for agriculture, and there's food there, so they move there. They were also commanded not to move there by God because of the idol practices that the Moabites were a part of. So they move there, apart from God's plan for their lives, and they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. We remember that their names meant sick and dying, so their parents spent a long time naming them and caring well for them and their names, but they eventually go, they live there for about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion die, leaving Ruth, Mahlon's wife, to be a widow. Mahlon and Orpah are now widowed along with Naomi. And they decide, Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem. She finds out that there's bread, that God has provided food in Bethlehem. And so they move back to the house of bread. And now they have there's two widows. Orpah decides to stay home with her gods and her family, Naomi and Ruth. And Ruth decides that I will worship the one true God and will follow you, Naomi, wherever you go, and I will be there for you till death separates us, is what she says. And then we see where one day Ruth goes out to glean in the fields to go gather up a little bit of the harvest that's happening at that time, and she stumbles upon the fields of Boaz. And as she goes to the fields of Boaz, Boaz takes notice of her. He sees her and he's like, "Who's this woman? I've never met her before. She's not one of our normal ladies that's here." And she gets he gets to know Ruth a little bit over their first date. Some wheat and some like kind of fried up corn and husks, and they dip it in some vinegar and some oil together, and then Naomi continues, or Ruth, sorry, continues to work in Boaz's fields throughout the whole day, and Boaz eventually blesses her with an ephah of barley, which was about 30 pounds of barley that she takes home to Naomi to care for her. It would have been about 3 weeks worth of food. And so she goes home to Naomi, and Naomi is excited that God's taken care of them. And Naomi has shifted from a lady that ran away from God's punishment to Moab and then came back a bitter, kind of hurt lady. And now she's excited that God is working, that God has provided. And as we close chapter 2, we see where Ruth stayed close to Boaz's women and gleaned until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived in her mother-in-law's home. That's the very end of chapter 2. And so Ruth probably worked in the fields of Boaz for 2 to 3 months, somewhere in there. And we don't know if Boaz was around or not, probably coming in and out, but she worked there, and she continued to live with her mother-in-law. And we finish chapter 2 with kind of a downer. There's chapter 1 ended with this hope that there was food. Chapter 2, we see Ruth still living with Naomi, and the struggles of living with your mother-in-law and still being a widow. Tony Butler is going to read chapter 3 for us. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 3 and follow along with us.
Good morning, everyone. Chapter 3 in Ruth. One day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself, put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a true," "know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, this is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to the town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until this matter is settled today."
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, right now as we learn and glean some truths from your word, Lord, that you would guide and direct our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would convict us of areas of sin. Lord, that we would learn from this story, and Lord, that we would look more like your son. Lord, I pray that you would help me to stand out of the way and to speak clearly, that the words that come from my mouth would not be a distraction, but would only be edifying to the body and only build up your church here. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. We broke in chapter 3 into 4 sections. Naomi's plan, Ruth's question, Boaz's response, and then Ruth's report. So we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "One day, Ruth's mother-in-law said to her daughter, 'My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be provided for.'" So we see Naomi, Ruth comes to Naomi and says, "Naomi, it's time. It's time for you to find a husband. It's time for you to leave this time of mourning and this time of grieving and the care of my home and to go somewhere else." What's interesting about this is Ruth's pledge in chapter 1 to her. Your God will be my God, my people will be your people, and I will live with you, and only death will depart us. Only death will separate us. And so Naomi hears these words and says, "Yeah, okay." Ruth hears these words and is like, "Okay, what should we do?" Naomi goes, "Look, Boaz, he's a close relative of ours. Why don't you go see if he'll be our redeemer?" And she develops this plan. This is Naomi's plan. You're going to wash up. You're going to put on some perfume. And you're going to get dressed up. And then Boaz is going to be at the threshing floor. He's going to be winnowing his barley, is what it says. And what this looked like in this time was, there would have been a spot that was hard rock, maybe some sort of granite or bedrock or something like that. But it was hard rock, and it was up on a hill. And a lot of the places had 2 open, big open walls. So there was only 2 walls in the little room they were going into, the threshing floor. And they would bring all their barley and all their wheat into this place, and they would beat it down. Whether that was done with animals or done with tools, they would beat it down, they would beat it into piles, and as they beat it down, the wind would come through this little two-walled house kind of wind tunnel, and it would blow the chaff away. It would blow away the stuff that they weren't going to eat, and so we see Boaz is at the threshing floor. He's with his with all of his grain. The harvest is over. We see that in chapter 2. And now, basically, Boaz has the work of kind of rendering down the food that he has collected. And so Naomi comes to Ruth and says, "Look, you need to, he's going to be our close relative, is at the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and then get dressed up." So in these days, she's literally telling her, "Go take a bath. You probably don't smell well." There's some scholars that believe that there's a good chance that they maybe only took a formal bath once a year. And so it's time. It's time to take a bath. Go take a bath. I know I was shocked by that too when I read that. And I don't know if it's true or not, but even if it's once a week, it's time to take a bath. And so she says, "Take a bath. Get cleaned up. Put on some perfume. Smell good. We know that Ruth was working in the fields and had been working in the fields, but it's time for you to smell good. And then put on a nice dress. Put on your best clothes. And what Naomi is doing here is she is telling Ruth, you were in this time of mourning over my son. You were in this time of being sad over my son. You weren't presenting yourself well because of my son. And it would have been obvious in this culture if you would have looked at Ruth or Naomi to know that they were mourning widows. And so what Ruth is doing now through Naomi's instructions is symbolizing that she is coming out of mourning and that she is going to be available to be married. And so that's why she dresses up. And I think this gives us a picture, just a quick picture of the redeeming relationship that we have with Jesus. Ruth is told to wash, to take a bath. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence to God." We're given instructions to be pure. We're given instructions, as Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, as we have a relationship with him, that we should live pure lives. And we know ultimately this is done because of the sacrifice that he made on the cross and the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But we're called to live pure. We're called to live a life that is not stained by the world. And so we're called to wash. And then she's told to anoint herself. And we get this picture of her putting on some sort of perfume that smelled good. This perfume or incense or whatever it might be. And we're called as Christians to be of this pleasing aroma. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. Among those who are being saved and those, or we are those that are being saved among those that are perishing." As believers, as people who walk with Jesus, we're called to be this pleasing aroma. Ruth anointed herself with this oil, and we're called to be anointed that we wouldn't be the smell of death when people see us, or that we wouldn't stench of the world or stink of the world, but we would be this fragrance and this pleasing aroma of Christ as we go throughout this world. And he says to put on your best clothes. Put on a new dress. And we get this picture of putting off the old self and putting on the new self. That's really what Ruth is doing here. She's putting off the old widow lady that's in mourning and putting on this new self, this new clothes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 23 to 24, you were taught with regard to this former life, put off your old self, and which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In Naomi's instructions to Ruth, we see this little picture of this redemption that we have to put off the old, put on the new, to be washed, to be anointed, and then to put on this new life that we have. So Ruth follows Naomi's instructions, and she washes. And then she heads down to the threshing floor. Now, Naomi's instructions to Ruth was to go down to the threshing floor at night. And as Boaz is working, and probably Boaz was there with a few of his close men. This would have been like the boss and his closest guys counting their money together, almost. These are the closest guys that Boaz would have trusted, and that he would have been willing to be part of kind of his inner circle, are there on the threshing floor. They're eating together, they're drinking, and Naomi tells Ruth, wait till he eats, wait till he drinks, And wait till he's tired, and then come in and lay down at his feet. Come in and lay down, kind of like, yeah, at his feet, uncover his legs. And so here in chapter or verse 4, it says uncover his legs. This would be like saying take off his socks. So as you come in, take off his socks, and what would happen is as his socks or his cloak is moved up, his feet would get cold. His feet would get cold, and eventually, it's a windy spot. Kind of, there's only two walls in this little building. Eventually, he'll try to cover up his feet. And so, a lot of scholars believe that Naomi is not really giving Ruth any suggestive or immoral advice, but it might be a little risky. She's telling her daughter-in-law to go lay down at the foot of a man, and then to follow what he says to do next. And what could have happened next might not have been honoring to God. Now we see it because we've already read this passage. I believe that it completely is. But Naomi possibly is not giving Ruth the best advice here. She's possibly giving Ruth some advice that could get her in trouble. But this is what she does. So Ruth then follows this advice. We pick up in verse 5. So she says, Ruth says, I'll do whatever you say. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. Remember, she's very committed to Naomi. And so she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went down to lie down at the far end of his grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lied down. So we see where Ruth follows Naomi's advice. She waits for Boaz to eat. She waits for him to have something to drink. This is probably good advice for you young ladies. They say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? And so they wait. She waits naturally till he's feeling good. He's done with his work. He's counted some of his money, and so she's obedient. And he lays down. He's on the far end of his grain pile. Now, what would have happened here is they would have piled up the grain in the middle of the threshing floor. And then a lot of times what they would do is they would sleep inside of their grain. They would sleep with the grain piled over the top of them and their feet hanging out. And that is why I believe Naomi says, take note of where he lies down. As you watch, make sure you don't uncover somebody else's feet, because that could be disastrous. There's other men there. And so Naomi's watching. She sees where Boaz lays down, probably covers himself in some of his grain. And you ask, why would they cover themselves in grain? Why would they do that? Well, in the time of the judges, the people did as they saw fit. They didn't follow God's laws. They didn't follow God's rules. This was kind of like the Wild West. So they laid in their grain pile to protect their grain pile. If you were going to steal the grain pile and you had your pitchfork, you were going to have to go through me first. That's what they were doing. They were actually laying inside to protect their grain because somebody very easily could have come and stole it. That's why they did it at night also, so then they could sleep with it and load it up the next morning. Because the Israelites were not following God's laws, and they were doing as they saw fit. So Boaz is laying down. His feet then get uncovered by Ruth, and Ruth lays down at his feet. Ruth lays down, and it says in the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned, and there was a woman laying at his feet. To me, this is just a hilarious picture that Ruth is laying there. Boaz is there to protect his wheat. Ruth sneaks in. Obviously, they are not doing the greatest job protecting their wheat, and lays down. She lays down. She takes his covering off his feet, and she's just sleeping there at his feet. This doesn't sound like anything that's super romantic. It doesn't sound like anything that is super desirable. She lays down at his feet, and his feet get cold in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, as his feet get cold, he probably reaches down to like put the covering back on. And he hits her. And he's like, there's someone here. And it says that it startles him. And he looks up, and it's dark. She left before anybody could be recognized in the morning, so it's still dark. But he reaches and he's like, that's not like a rock. That's a person. And who are you? Who are you? And he asks. And she says, it's your servant Ruth. And it's your servant Ruth here. And I'm sure Boaz is like, what is going on? What is happening here? Why are you here? Did you come because you knew that there would be food here? This isn't an appropriate place for a woman. Why are my feet cold? It probably brings up all these questions. But in verse 9 here, we see where Ruth asks Boaz her question. Boaz says, who are you? Ruth says, I'm your servant. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of my family. So here, Ruth says, look, it's me. It's me, Ruth. And spread the garment of your garment over the top of me and protect me, because I am part of your family and you are eligible to be my husband. This is where Ruth, right here, this picture right here is where Ruth asks Boaz to be her husband. She says, let me be your wife. Let me live in your house. And Ruth actually turns Boaz's own words back on him here in this passage. So in chapter 2, verse 12, we see where Boaz gives Ruth a send-off or a blessing. And he says, may the Lord repay you for all you've done. May you be richly rewarded, the God of Israel, whose wings you've taken refuge in. So Boaz gives Ruth this blessing. I hope God blesses you. And you have chosen to follow the one true God, and you've fallen under his wings, and you've come in under his protection. And now Ruth says, Boaz, remember, I've fallen under his protection, the one true God. Now let me fall under your protection. Now let me be your wife and protect me. So spread your garment over me. There's some that believe that this would have been a symbol of some ancient practices that the Jewish people would have practiced, where they would actually like spread a garment over, like you're now part of me. You're now part of in a wedding culture, and so that's what Ruth's asking. Let me be part of you. Let you be my husband, and you be my kinsman redeemer. Obviously, I'm sure Boaz is a little startled by Ruth's question, but his response that we're going to look at next is pretty amazing. In verse 10, he's just been proposed to by Ruth. And in verse 10, he says, the Lord bless you, my daughter. Your kindness is greater than which it was, or which you showed me earlier. For you didn't run to the young men, or whether they were rich or poor. So verse 10, we see Boaz's response. And his response is pretty interesting here. His response, he greets her, or responds to her in a very familiar way, as he greeted his workers in the field. In chapter 2, we see where he comes to the field and he says to his workers, the Lord bless you. And the workers say back to him, says, the Lord be with you. And we see where the workers say, the Lord bless you. And so we see here in verse 10 where Boaz responds pretty similar greeting, and it tells us something about his character and the type of man that he is. He didn't jump up and say, get away from me, but he says, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, my daughter. Your kindness is greater than in which you showed me earlier. Boaz is a little shocked. He's a little shocked that Ruth is sitting there or laying there and is interested in him, is interested in being his wife. And he says to her, your character shines. Your character shines right now, and I can't believe you're even interested in me. But he gets excited. He gets excited that she is interested. He's like, the kindness you showed me, you didn't run after the young man or the old man or rich or poor, but you came after me. And now my daughter, in verse 11, it says, and now my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do all you have asked. The people of my town know of your noble character. So we see Boaz, he gets excited. He gets excited and he says, I'll do everything you ask me to do. I will be your kinsman redeemer. It's done. It's a done deal. I'll take care of it. And we see where he actually goes. It's the next day, and he starts this process of taking care of being the kinsman redeemer, but tells Ruth right there, I'll do it. Yeah, of course. We're going to get married. And I think as he's telling her that, he remembers. Oh, man. Although it is true, this is verse 12, although it's true that I am a kinsman redeemer of your family, there is one who's closer than I. So he gets excited for a minute. Yeah, Ruth, this Moabite lady that's turned towards Christ, or towards God, and is living for the one true God, wants to be my wife. This would be an amazing picture. She's a hard worker, and she loves her family. He gets excited. I think he gets excited, maybe even a quick picture of what the future could look like. I won't be a single man anymore. I'll have a wife. I can have kids. My name will go on. And then he remembers, but there's somebody else. But there's somebody else. And actually, when he says, but there's somebody else, he's telling Ruth, but there's somebody else, and he is an older man. I'm sure that excited Ruth a lot. So Boaz, already an older man, tells Ruth that there's somebody that's closer. There's somebody older than me in the family that can be your redeemer. Probably could have been Boaz's dad, or could have been an older cousin or an older brother of Boaz. And so there's somebody else. And I'm sure at that point, Boaz gets a little less excited, but he says, I'll do it. I'll do what I can. And in verse 13, he tells her to stay here. Stay here tonight. And in the morning, if he doesn't want to be, or if he wants to be your kinsman redeemer, then good. Let him do it. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Stay here until morning. So Boaz instructs her, stay here. Stay here. Sleep here tonight. She's at his feet. It's not something inappropriate. There are some people that think that possibly this alludes to some sexual relationship that they had that night. I don't believe so. I believe Ruth stayed at his feet because what we know of Boaz's character is he's a man that loves the Lord. And he's a man that's desirous to honor God and to honor Ruth. He says, don't be afraid. I think when he says, don't be afraid, he's telling her, look, I'm not going to take advantage of you. I'm not going to take advantage of this circumstance, whether it was you putting yourself in that circumstance or your mother-in-law, which we know it was, telling her to do it. I'm not going to take advantage of you. I'm not going to have my way with you, but I want to honor God. But stay here until the morning. He's also saying stay here till morning because the Israelites were not following God's laws. And it would have been a dangerous place for her to go out in the dark. For her to go out and try to make her way home in the dark. She could have gotten herself in a lot of trouble. And so he says, stay here. And so we see what Ruth does. She stays here until the morning, and she lays until morning. And then in verse 14, it says, so she lay at his feet till morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know a woman was at the threshing floor. So we see where Boaz gives her a little bit of advice. Hey, get up, and leave, and don't tell anybody you were here. Don't tell anybody you were here. Don't let anybody know that there was a woman on the threshing floor, that you were here for the night. And I think he tells her that, just be careful, because this, what happened here, this could look inappropriate. This could look like something had gone on that was outside of God's plan for marriage. And what we see, and I truly believe that nothing happened, and that Boaz really cared for her. And so he says, don't let anybody know you were here. We don't want any gossip to go around. Chapter 1, as soon as Ruth and Naomi walked into town, they started, that's the Moabite. That's Naomi. Look, I can't believe she's back. So word travels fast. So don't let anybody know you're here. We don't need anybody to be gossiping about what might have gone on here. He says in verse 15, also, Bring the shawl. Bring the shawl you have on. And he gives her some food. It says in verse 15, bring me the shawl you're wearing and hold it out. And when she did, he poured 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. And then he went back to town. So we see where Boaz, as Ruth's getting ready to leave, he's like, hold up. Don't tell anybody. And come here, let me give you some more food. And the 6 measures of barley, scholars believe it was maybe somewhere around 60 pounds of barley. There's other scholars that believe that it could have been almost like 60 big, like hand, or 6 big handfuls of barley. But whatever it is, he cares for Ruth and Naomi. He cares for their well-being. He gives them more food. Before, he gave them enough food for about 3 weeks. This would have been, if it was 60 pounds, this would have been enough for probably 6 weeks of food. And so we see where Boaz cares for Ruth and Naomi in this situation. And she puts the bundle on her back, and then he heads back into town. So Boaz immediately goes to town to take care of becoming the kinsman redeemer of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi returns home. There's some character responses we can learn from Boaz here in this passage. Boaz's response to Ruth tells us a lot about who he is, and I think that it gives us some character traits for us to live up to. First, he honors Ruth. He honors Ruth. He tells her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, I'm not going to take advantage of you. Don't be afraid, you're safe here with me. And he honors her. The second is he obeys God's laws. Verse 12, he's like, yeah, I'll be your redeemer. And what there's many that believe what could have happened right there is Boaz could have had sex with Ruth and consummated the relationship right there, and then he would have had every right to marry her. It would have been an immoral act. It would have been an adulterous act, I believe. But he would have had the legal binding to marry her at that point. But he doesn't do that. He chooses to take the appropriate steps and obey God's laws. And it says something about who he is. So he obeys God's laws, and he says, there's somebody else that's above me. But we'll see what he decides to do. He also protects Ruth. Here he says, don't leave. Stay till morning. We don't know what can happen at night. He protects her. Stay at my feet. Stay away. And he cares for her. So Boaz honors Ruth. He obeys God's laws. He protects her. And then he also provides for her. He gives her more barley. He gives her more food. He says, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. I want her to know that you're going to be, that your needs, both of you, are going to be cared for. And Boaz's response here is an incredible response for a man who loves the Lord. And it's a great picture of a man who loves the Lord. So many things could have gone sideways in this plan. He could have done so many different things that would have been dishonoring to God. But his character stands loud and proud that he is going to honor God with the way he lives and his relationship. We see, let's look at verse 16. So Boaz is heading back into town, and then when Ruth, it says, then Ruth came home to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi asked, how did it go, my daughter? And so Ruth immediately goes to report. I'm sure Naomi is wondering what happened. I think Naomi knew that the advice she was giving to Ruth might have been a little risque, a little bit, and a little bit on the edge. And so she's waiting. I remember coming home from being out with some friends, and my dad would always wait up. And he would wait up until we got home. And as soon as we walked in, and I was never late. I was always right on time. But if he said be home at 10, my dad was waiting. Home at 10, we'd go to bed. And I'm sure this is a little bit of the picture of what we see with Naomi here. She's waiting. It's the next morning. Like, it took a long time. What's going on? She's kind of eager to see what's happening. And then we see where Ruth gives her report. She says, how did it go, my daughter? Then she told her everything Boaz had done and added, he even gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. So Ruth then gives a report. This is what happened. This is what went on. This is what he said. This is what he'll do. And then he even gave us some food. I think Boaz is like, he's like winning a little bit of points here with mother-in-law. He's winning a few little points with mother-in-law. He even said, here, take this food. Take this food that he had just had his men pick, and he was just winnowing. He was just harvesting at that point. So she took some of his. It wasn't the gleaning. It wasn't the perimeter of the property, but it was some of what was his. That he had gathered and that he had paid for and harvested himself. So she immediately is being taken care of from his proceeds. To your mother-in-law, don't go back empty-handed. Then Naomi said, wait, my daughter-in-law, or wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until this matter is settled today. So then we see in verse 18, Naomi tells her, okay, let's wait here. Let's wait here. Let's wait and see what happens. Let's wait and see what goes on. And I can just imagine Ruth sitting there. I just asked this man to be my husband. I just asked this man to be part of his family. And he just told me that an older man might be my husband, and it's got maybe the guy that I don't even know. And so she's waiting. She's kind of on like pins and needles a little bit, like maybe sitting on the edge of her bed, waiting and wondering what's going to happen, what's going to go on. And that's where we're left in chapter 3. That's where we're left. We're left in this waiting game. We're left in this, what's going to happen from here? What's going to go on? And am I going to go to a new home, as Ruth is thinking? Or am I going to continue to be a widow? Is Boaz really going to come through as my redeemer? And what will life look like if that happens? What if it doesn't work? What if I go to this other guy and he takes advantage of me? What if I go to this other guy and he doesn't provide for my needs? And Ruth is left waiting. In this passage, we see that we have Naomi's plan. We have Naomi's plan for her daughter-in-law. Naomi's plan for them to have something, to have some means to be taken care of. We see Ruth's question to Boaz. We see where Ruth asks Boaz to be her husband. And then we see Boaz's response, and we see his incredible character through the response. And then we see where Ruth reports back. And that's where we're going to end this week, in the reporting, in the waiting, and in the middle of seeing what's going to go on in this passage. But I want to remind us of what we've gleaned from this passage. In Naomi's plan, we've gleaned that as a follower of Christ, we should wash, we should be anointed, and we should put on our best clothes. We should be free from sin, and we should stay away from sin. We should be the fragrance of Christ and not the fragrance of death, which is the fragrance of the world. When people see us, they should know that we're Christians by the way we handle ourselves. And we should be a picture of what Christ has done. We see also Boaz's response as he honors Ruth, as he takes care of Ruth, as he provides for her needs, as he obeys God's laws, and he protects Ruth. There's so much that we can learn from that character. And I pray today as we leave here that we will be this picture of a washed, anointed, dressed believer, ready to be on mission for Christ, and that we would handle ourselves in a way that honors God, obeying his laws, protecting others, providing for others, and honoring those that are around us. Let's pray today. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that as we see these different relationships, Lord, that there's so much we can learn. Lord, that we can, that we would be believers that are washed and anointed, that look like your son, that have put off the old and put on the new. And Lord, that we would be people that handle ourselves with character following your laws. Lord, that we would truly, that people would know that we are Christians by the way we handle ourselves. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.